Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We have, I want to do a quick roll call so I know who is on. I know some of the people I've heard already. Ms. Sherry gets the prize, the early bird prize today. She was the first one on. Yay, Sherry. And who else? Marcella, I heard her, and Judy, and my mom.
Rachel.
Hey, you made it.
Yeah, but I'm just going to mute it, so I won't
That's
be able to
fine.
Talk at all.
Okay, I won't call your name. I'm so proud of you. Very good, girl.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and is Brenda on? I know Brenda's been sick, but... Brenda, if you have a voice. Yesterday she had very little voice. Although, with very little voice, she made 38 phone calls. With
oh, my
little
gosh.
Voice.
Wow.
Yeah. Woohoo! I know. I was so proud of her. She was crackling and everything, but she did it. I was so proud. So, yeah, she stayed home yesterday because she thought it was allergies, but it ended up a little more. But anyway, well, let's go ahead and get started with the last chapter of our book. And, oh, my gosh, I don't know if you guys enjoyed this chapter as much as I did. Judy, thank you for giving me some preliminary thoughts of what was going to be in the chapter because I started listening to it right after we talked. And holy cow, talk about everything being on the forefront of what's going on right now and what we're experiencing and just life in general. It was just an awe moment in every day that he discussed. I was just like, wow, there wasn't one day that I wasn't jotting down notes and just really feeling moved by this chapter or this week. So I hope all of you had the opportunity to listen to it. And I actually am going to listen to it again and again and again because I think it's probably the most powerful chapter, especially the last two that are added in, and that's day 41 and day 42 on envy and self-approval or others' approval, because that was really, really very probably the most impactful two chapters for me. So anyway, I want to just go over a few things, and then I want to feel out or hear what you guys got out of it. The first was it takes a shift to become a world-class Christian, and that was pretty impactful for me. You have to shift many things in your life in order to achieve the world-class Christian that we're called to be. So I know, you know, Mia Mason Taylor has written a song called Shift, and it stands for She Has It Figured Out Totally. And you guys probably have the song because I made copies of it, I know, because it's pretty powerful. But it really, every time I heard him say shift or I read about shift, I was like, oh, wow. And then I said that in my head every time, so I just thought that was kind of funny. But it means more than just a difference of a thought. It's a lot more impactful than just a difference of a thought. So when we shift what we are thinking, when we shift what our day-to-day thoughts are and our selfishness and other things, we change who we are to be what God created us to be. And that was pretty impactful for me. I love his acronym of SHAPE, that's spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. God has shaped us to be exactly who we are. Are we keeping ourselves in shape? Ha-ha. That's kind of funny. But, you know, truly, I know, you know, as much as I, Judy, I know you too, and Marcella's into the health thing, and as much as we think about the gym and working out, this shape is so much more than, you know, Sherry, you and your Zumba classes that you love that are so much fun. It's spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. God gives us that to shape us to who we are. So when we have the shift of thinking something different, thinking a different thought, not a new thought, a different thought than what we would normally think, then we have the shift. We have, and he calls us to do silent breath prayers for unbelievers that we come in contact with. I love that because I don't know about you guys, and I don't really know that they're unbelievers when they're around me, but I feel an urging. I feel an urging to either share my faith walk or share something more than what I'm sharing. And y'all hear me often say, I don't know why I'm saying this, but God put it on my heart, so I'm just going to say it. And I do that a lot. I'll say to someone, I don't know why I'm telling you this piece of my life, but apparently you need to hear it, or I need to say it to get it out. So just bear with me. When you're urged to do that, please follow through. It's an obedience thing. Because, and you know how much I hate that word. If there's anybody that hates that word more than life itself, that would be me, because I am not good at it. And God definitely shaped me to be obedient, and I'm working on it. So, and you know, we always say, be careful what you pray for, because if you pray for patience, he's going to give you every option to test that. So when you pray to help with obedience, he gives you every option to test that obedience. So be careful what you pray for there. And the other thing is that prayer makes you a partner with others. That was pretty impactful for me when he said that, because I think I told you guys that in our marriage retreat, Steve really encourages us to pray with our spouses, and that's a really hard thing to do. Some people might not have might not be as difficult for them, but it's pretty hard for me to do that. And so, and I don't feel uncomfortable with it. I do a little bit, but not as much as Scott does, and I don't want him to feel uncomfortable in prayer. In this last Bible study, we discussed our marriage retreat. We were talking about that every year Steve encourages us to do that. And the girls were talking about how hard that is, that it's just difficult to bring up, and then you want to share your heart, and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. And one of the girls, who's adorable, she's just as country as can be, but she's as cute as can be, said, you know, I finally figured out that it was just so hard for me to do that, but I really felt like I was not being obedient. So I finally figured out, I just let Tommy go to sleep, and then I just go kneel beside him and put my hands over him, so I'm praying with him. And I thought, that is hilarious. But it made sense. It made complete sense to me. I'm like, oh, I can do that. That is doable. And so I thought, wow, when he said prayer makes you a partner with others, that thought came back to my mind, that your marriage does become stronger when you pray with your spouse. And it does become more united. I know several women have shared with me, you know, if they go, when it's called prayer time at their church, if they go forward with someone else besides their spouse, a girlfriend or whatever, sometimes their spouse gets a little hurt. And that has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with what we need at that time. So I would say I encourage those that are married on the call to really work on that, because it does bring you into a partnership far greater than just what marriage is called in the civilian world. It brings you to the ultimate level, which is far greater than what marriage is shown in the world, or the, you know, what we call it. So anyway, and then I want to describe what he talks about as peace. It talks about, you know, where to bring God's peace, where to bring peace, or God's bringing peace. And what does that mean when we try and bring peace on the earth? What does that mean? And he referred to plant churches that promote reconciliation with themselves and with others, equip servant leaders, so that's equipping us to feel confident enough to speak up. He doesn't equip us, I always say, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And so that's exactly what that's saying, is be obedient and step up when you feel led. You don't have to know everything. And I agree, y'all have heard me say that 1,000 times in Mary Kay. You don't have to know everything there is to know about the skincare class. They don't know what you're going to say. They don't know the skincare class. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. They don't know if I'm going to be goofy or not. They don't know if I have to be goofy or not. They don't know. I get to do what I want to do. How freeing is that? I mean, that is so freeing to me that I can just be me, and they're not going to critique me. So, and that goes into that last chapter he talks about. But the A is assist the poor, and it doesn't mean give them money. It means teach them to fish. C is care for the sick. And E is educate the next generation, working with the young women that are coming up in this company. I totally hear that without question, time and time again. We had Working Wednesdays here last night. We had a great crowd. It was awesome, powerful. Several girls just came to make phone calls. Some came to just, that aren't even adopted in our unit or in our unit, came to just had some time, you know, some time to talk to me about what are words, you know, just as far as team building and things like that. And it was, you know, knowing the spiritual gifts of the directors that are here and knowing who could touch who. And one of the young girls that is a recruit prospect is, you know, 21 with a 2-year-old with her fiance and only has one car. And so we talked about, you know, and she's like, well, you know, I'm so young and, you know, I have a baby. And then I said, you know, I need to talk to her because I've been in her shoes. I definitely need to talk to her. And so it's when we're able to speak up. That was that chapter that was so impactful to, I think, most of us. It's when we're able to speak up and share what our pain was that made us who we are is when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You've done what I asked you to do. And that step up and share what I gave you to endure to help someone else endure it all the same with me as their focus, not others. So, he also talked about God says, go where I send you. And he's talking about international ministry and missions. And I don't know, I'm going to do a quick roll call. Who here has been on a mission trip?
Judy.
Yay. Where'd you go?
It was Virginia was one. And, oh, golly.
That's okay. That's really cool.
I can't
think.
I've been on several with Brianna when she was in high school.
Oh, very cool. I do remember that. I do remember that. Who else? Anybody else?
This is Marcella, and when I was much younger, just in the Northeast United States, up in the New York area.
Very cool. That is so awesome, guys. Well, he talks about, you know, that we need to go out and we need to expand and we need to go where I send you. And I know y'all have heard me talk about my best friend Dawn, and, you know, she is, I would say she would not be the strongest Christian. I would tell her that too, and she knows it. But when she told me last year that she was going on a mission trip to Jamaica, I just about fell off the treadmill. She would have been the last person. I mean, seriously, she would have been the last person I ever expected in my life, and my mother can probably attest to that, ever would have expected. And it was the most moving, powerful thing she's ever done. And she's a totally different person coming back from it, totally different in her faith, totally different in her persona of life. And, you know, when we go work out and I have on a shirt that has a cross on it, she's like, where'd you get that? I need one. And I'm like, holy cow, this is a new person. And just how she handles problems and stuff, it's just so moving to see that. And I love that piece. So when he said that, the song that came to mind is Go Where I Send You, and it's the children's song. And I actually looked up the lyrics, and it just talks about go one by one, two by two, one by one, two by two, three by three. It was just really cool just rereading that because I remember singing that as a child. So I also loved what he said when the Great Commission is my commission.
Yeah.
You believe that with every ounce of your heart. The Great Commission is your commission. That's why he made us. That's why he gave us those the five principles. And the first is love God with all your heart. You do that through worship. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do that through ministry. You yourself want your Christian beliefs, want your energy, want your excitement. Why wouldn't you give that to someone else? And that's through ministry. Go and make disciples, and that's your mission. And then baptize them into God's family, and that's your
fellowship.
Right, exactly, fellowship. You are for God's family. And then you teach them to go out and do things. So you baptize them into God's family with fellowship, and you teach them to go out and do things. And I think that's probably the most rewarding part of being a sales director in Mary Kay to me is the teaching of you guys to see you blossom and to see you get excited when things succeed. Yet also on the reverse, to see you grow through the pain of when it doesn't. I know that's really hard to say or really hard to digest that we'd all find glory in it, but I find peace and knowing that the pain makes you stronger. You know, you fail to success. And that's an absolutely true statement. So I wanted to, let's see, there's a couple of things that when I talked about, well, when I looked up mission, because that was something I wanted to pay attention to, and looking at mission, God wants to redeem human beings and reconcile them to himself so that we can fulfill the five purposes for which we were created. Every one of us were created for these five purposes, and I just talked about them, to love him, to be a part of his family, to become like him, to serve him, and to tell others about him. So Jesus commands us to continue his mission. His mission is our mission. And that was really impactful because, you know, he was saying ministry and mission, ministry and mission. Ministry is in your church. Mission is what you're here for. And I'm like, well, what's my mission? His mission is my mission. And that was like, that nailed it for me. So your mission is so important. Jesus repeated it five times in five different ways in five different books of the Bible. It's as if he was saying, I really want you to get this. Are you listening? Hello, I'm speaking it five times. We had a priest at I think it was St. Francis, when we lived in Powder Springs, we would go to, and it was Father Caffrey, and he was from Boston. And my husband still often talks about, Father Caffrey. When he wanted to emphasize a point, like he would say, thanks be to God, God! And we'd be like, wow, like, whoa, hello. But every time he wanted to emphasize, he would repeat it in a much stronger, very Boston accent, but it got your attention. And that is what God is doing here, is getting our attention, like, pay attention, listen. Okay, your principle, your mission is a great privilege. It is also an incredible honor to be used by God. Think about it. Scott and I have talked about this a lot. When you experience a true intervention or a true seeing someone change, any of the above, or you share a piece of recommendation or a thought and that person acts on it and it's successful and you know it could only have come from God, it is so pleasing. It is so pleasing in a strange way. It's so rewarding. It's so honoring to know that you were used by God. To me, that's the greatest honor I can get, is to know that. And then your mission is the greatest thing you can do for someone. So bringing them to Christ, that's the greatest thing you can do. And, you know, I love that we have the vehicle. Mary Kay is our vehicle to do that and to also give them an internal beauty, an internal belief in themselves, an internal thought that I can do that. I can do anything. I can make a difference because I love myself. Your mission has eternal significance, and your mission gives your life meaning. That, to me, was so impactful. So, because I know so often in Mary Kay, it feels like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Seriously, why am I here? Is it to sell lipstick? No. But it's to spread out your life as best you can, to spend it for something that outlasts it. So your mission gives your life meaning. It's to use your life to spend it for something that outlasts it. Think about that. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You want to do in your life now with your dash something that far is greater than when you're gone. One of our good friends, actually it was my brother's best friend growing up, Robert Pittman was his name, and he was a soldier, and then he actually went in back into Afghanistan as a private sector helping, because he was one of the only ones that knew how to do this part in the military, and he was very, very highly thought of, highly sought after, and a remarkable guy just in his attitude and his life and how he lived it out. And recently his mother, if y'all are friends with me on Facebook, you've seen that his mother posted, they named a range after him on post. It's called Pittman Range. And I thought, that's something that outlasts your life. Because he was killed in Afghanistan. I forgot to tell you guys that part. I guess about 2 years ago. And it was pretty heartfelt across the board. Even though we hadn't kept in touch since we were little kids, it still was heartfelt. I mean, it was hard for anybody to digest. But then, so you can just see the glory in her words on the post of showing the pictures and stuff. Because his memory has now outlived him.
Mm-hmm.
What he did has now outlived him. So what is our dash going to do? And that's what I posted on the site. It's so rewarding to know that he did so much with his dash and that he was noted for it. So I know he heard, well done, good and faithful servant, when he arrived, because that is what we all are called to want in life. And then completing your mission will bring glory to God. It says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Will you be able to say that at the end of your life? I have brought you glory. This is what Jesus said on the cross. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do here. That was the night before he was crucified. Can you say the same? I mean, that made me think long and hard. Long and hard. The other part that was hugely impactful in this chapter for me is when God is at the center of your life, you yeah. worship. When he is not, you worry.
You worry. Yeah.
Boy, would that shut down my worrying. I mean, seriously, I'm not a worrywart anyway. I never have been that kind of person. I just go with it. Whatever God hands me, I go with. But I know a lot of people that do worry. And I am equipped. I am armed now. Totally armed with the statement back, because that's so true. When he's the center of your life, you worship, you glorify him, you give it all over to him. And when he's not, you worry, because you're allowing the worry to be the center of your life, not him. So that was hugely, I wrote it four times, if that tells you anything. That's how impactful it was to me. And then real quick on the chapters with envy, I was quickly just writing down some thoughts that really hit me, that envy is the biggest insult. It's a spiritual rebellion. It's ignorance and arrogance. God outlawed it. It's the 10th commandment. He outlawed envy. God created each of us as unique masterpieces. We need to appreciate who we are and not look at others and say, why don't I have? When you do that, you're insulting God. The number one reason for that envy is, restricted is people miss God's plan for them. It distracts your focus on what God created you to do. It sidetracks you from what God custom made you for. And it steals your joy. Right? It does. When you're envying someone else, you can't be joyful about who you are. It denies your uniqueness. Even identical twins are not exact. We are unique. We are made for exactly how he wanted us to be. So when you envy others, you cannot see your uniqueness and your purpose. It's distracting from your mission. It's a misuse of time and energy. Envy is the enemy of contentment. That was pretty powerful for me, considering the amount of hours both Scott and I put in. And it's not because of envy. I mean, I just love to work, and he does too. But envy is the enemy of contentment. So God does want us to be content. He does want us to be happy. He made us to be that way. Envy also leads to other sins. That was pretty impactful. Envy is one of the seven deadly sins, which I didn't realize until this chapter. And that envy infects everything inside you and affects everything around you, because it changes you, how God made you. To conquer envy, you've got to stop comparing. You know, anytime we compare our highlight reels, I mean, someone else's highlight reels with our blooper reels. We never compare like to like. So don't compare. You are incomparable. I love that statement. That's going to be my statement to myself when I start comparing. Because we're going to the director's meeting today at Cecilia James's, and I know, you know, there's amazing people there that have done amazing things in this past quarter and 6 months, and I'm incomparable. What I've done is what God intended me to do, and I've got to live with that happiness and that joy. God does not judge you on the opportunities you did not get. He does not judge you on the opportunities you did not have. He judges you on what you did with the opportunities he gave you, a.k.a. Mary Kay. Ooh, that rhymes. Think about it. What are you doing with the opportunity he gave you as a vehicle to work, to bring people to him in a very different way? That was, like, extremely, extremely impactful. Celebrate with those who rejoice. Rejoice with them when they have a windfall. Enjoy other success.
If you do, you will always be happy. Happiness is a choice. If you're not happy with what you have, you will never be happy with anything more. Be happy where you're planted. And I am grateful that I was taught that, because I can say no matter where I am in life, I'm happy. Why should you be envious? I love this. Oh, my gosh. He was talking about the farmer, and the farmer, you know, was hiring people throughout the day, and he paid everybody the same. And the one that was hired at the beginning of the day said to him, that's not fair. I worked so many more hours, and he's getting paid the same thing I'm getting paid. How many times have I heard that? I mean, how many times have we said that? Well, that's not fair. I had a double facial, too, and blah, 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 blah. Right? Mm-hmm. Why should you be envious if I want to be generous? And I just keep on seeing God saying that. Why should you be envious if I want to be generous? Let it go. So there's some pretty impactful statements in this week's, and that's why I'm going to listen to it again and again, and y'all probably be getting a lot of emails on this, because it's just these things have really, I mean, the whole book has really brought up amazing thoughts and just a change that I see in a lot, in most of us, in all of us, actually, not most, all of us. I love that God shaped me to be me, not somebody else. He shaped me to be me. Are you being you? Are you being envious of what someone else has and trying to change to be more like them? Because when we do that, we end up altering what God intended us to be and what he shaped us to be. All right, I'm going to open it up and find out what you guys got out of it. I know I went a little long. Well, we still got a few minutes. So what did you guys, Judy, I know you were sharing with me the other day. Tell me what you got out of it.
That one that you quoted, when God's at the center, we worship, and when he's not, we worry. That's been my mantra this week.
Yeah.
And the other one that seemed to apply so closely with Mary Kay was 2 Corinthians 8:11, where it says, let your enthusiastic idea at the start be equaled by your realistic action now.
Mm-hmm.
What was that verse, Judy?
2 Corinthians 8:11. I know he wasn't talking about Mary Kay, but it sure paralleled our Mary Kay business.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure he wasn't. I think he had Mary Kay in mind when he sent that to the people that write the book. He knew long before we did it was coming into an existence. All right, who else? Sherry? I'm going to call out now.
I enjoyed this whole section probably the most. I don't even know where to begin. All I can tell you is, you know, I'm dealing with situations with my daughter, and this has just carried me through. And I am hoping to do this study over the summer with her.
Good. That is awesome. That is awesome. Marcella?
I will tell you, I did not read it this week.
Oh, but you are now, aren't you? I am,
you know,
sure you're going.
It's funny. This morning I was thinking, it's like you get into a habit and then you get out, and I'm having to get back into several habits again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I am so glad I am listening to this.
Good.
The notes that I was taking when you were saying that, it's funny because Judy stole my note. When God is the center of my life, I worship, and when he isn't, I worry.
Mm-hmm.
That so nailed it for me. And then one of the last things that you said about God shaping me to be me, and I feel like even though there have been times where I felt like I needed to be a much better me, I feel like the point in life where I started trying to be someone different than me that I thought I should be is when life has had the most issues, and when I started truly being me again, it's like life started coming back into focus.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's when you were able to be joyful.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because you were able to be you and what God intended you to be, so the joy came back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's like kind of like when you get in the right career, when you know it's for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Same philosophy. Absolutely. Let's see. I never heard Brenda. I know Rachel's muted. Rachel, do you want to unmute and say something? We'll give her that chance. She's probably getting Caleb in the car. She is going with me to Cecilia James' director's meeting today because they're allowing Reds and team leaders to come for the first time ever.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, so that's super exciting. Okay, Mom, what did you get out of it?
Well, pretty much the same as everybody, of course. And, you know, I think I come in contact with a lot of people that worry a lot. So Judy's phrase of not worrying was real important to just remember that because it's such a catchy phrase.
Absolutely. And, you know, Steve, our pastor, said at one point, and I'll give you guys this analogy, and I think, Judy, I've shared it with you before, because Scott's mom is a really bad worrier. And, Mom, thank you for not raising me with that trait because it is a trait that goes through and through and through and through generations. So thank you for not raising me with that trait.
Go ahead. I tell everybody that worry is a tool of the devil.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and he shares that his mom was a worrier big time, and they do pass on that trait, so he has a tendency to do that. And at one point, God gave him a vision of when he was worrying, and he, you know, it was write it down, and it's called a worry journal. So you keep a worry journal, and you write it down, and you leave it. You leave it there. And so he would write down his worries, and he would throw it in the garbage. And when he would start thinking about that whatever it was and start worrying again, God would say, okay, go get it out of the garbage then. If you want to take it back from me, go ahead, go get it out of the garbage.
That's good.
And it was an activity that he would go do. I mean, he would go and physically take it out of the garbage, and he'd be like, why am I doing this? Why am I taking it back from God? And then, you know, so he got better and he got better and he got better, and so it would stay there longer and it would stay there longer and it would stay there longer. And then, you know, at one point it's like 8-9 hours into the day, and he starts thinking about what he's worried about again, and God's like, all right, go get it out of the garbage. You want to pull it back up and take it back from me? So he's digging through banana peels and coffee grinds and everything that's fallen on top of it that God has put on top of his worries to take them away. And he's digging through all the garbage to get it back. And he thought at that point it was freeing.
I have my little sign in the bathroom that I read every day that says, before you go to bed, give troubles to God. He will be up all night anyway.
I love that. I actually took a picture of that sign. I did. I think I posted it on Facebook. I do love that sign. You know, before you go to bed, give all your worries to God. He'll be up all night handling them. It was just perfect. It's like, I love that statement because he does. But when we take him back, he says, okay. Fine. You don't want to hand it over and believe that I can handle it? All right. Go ahead, take them back.
Sometimes when you get up, taken care of.
Absolutely. It's taken care of, yet we take it back and cause more issues.
Yeah.
That happens too. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do want to say, guys, this has been an amazing journey. I am so glad we followed our hearts and our heads on this when we chose Purpose-Driven Life. I can say I've recommended it to two other directors to do it because it has been so powerful. And I'm certainly prayerfully trying to see what God wants us to do next. Certainly we're going to take off the rest of this month and possibly June. I'm still iffy on that, but I know with it being the year end of seminar and a lot of activity with family and stuff like that going on, it's a difficult task in the summer, but I'm going to prayerfully be thinking. I ask you guys to do the same, to prayerfully think about a book that you feel like we're called to do and let me know, because I do want to keep it as focused as we can on our spiritual walk as well as our Mary Kay walk, because this just went hand in hand without question, you know, with the statement about MD and things like that just every week. So, if you guys will let me know that. And then also, if you'll send me a quick blurb, you can text me or email me what you got out of it, because I do want to start posting those for other unit members to see. So so they know how important it is to take time out for them, because I think that is vitally important. Are there any other questions? Because I have something I just want to close with for you guys, if not. Nope.
All right. I encourage everybody, Katie, reread this book. Take another 40 days and reread the book, because you'll get a lot more out of it than you got the
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And, in fact, the recording was done in 2012, yet there were other things done. It was done well before that. So I was thinking, wow, yeah, how many people have done it over and over again? Mm-hmm. And you do get so much more the second time you go through. So while we're taking some time off, redo this. Redo this. Let that be your challenge.
And be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, to yourself. All right, so I want to close with, instead of praying, God bless what I want to do, pray, God help me to do what you're blessing today. And then every morning, pray, Father, I know you're going to do some amazing things in the world today. I would love the privilege of being included in some of them. How much does that change your overall thought for the day when you say, I know you're going to do amazing things, and I would just ask for the privilege to be a part of some of them? We are. We're a part of a very amazing thing, and that's the company that he gave Mary Kay. And we can use it as his vehicle that he intended it to be used, and we can make women feel great about themselves and change one life at a time, one face at a time. Because we don't have to be amazing, you know, preachers that go by tens of thousands. One at a time is all he calls us to do. One by one. He will send them one by one, and that's all he calls us to do. So you guys have a great week. Thanks for calling in. It's been a powerful study. Thanks for being a part of it, and I am excited about what he puts on our heart for the next one. So I will talk to each of you guys soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye, Katie.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.